Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Thanks, everyone, for being here with us. Our guest today was on the ferry yesterday on his way from Gustavus to exhibit his work here in Juno, and he had his artwork carefully packed. And this week, Lou Cacioppo will be showcasing his carving at an exhibit at V's Cellar Door. Well, Lou, I can imagine that it must be quite a project to do an art exhibit like this one where you have to pack up your artwork on a ferry.
Yeah, it's definitely labor-intensive, you know, excited about doing it, but there was a lot of prep going into it. And, of course, when you pack an art, you have to pack it real careful. I have stone sculptures, jewelry, wood, different mediums, and heavy to boot when you have stone sculptures. And I have some limited edition prints also that I brought along. But packing was a challenge.
I can imagine that you wouldn't really want anything damaged on the way here. So
no.
Tell us about some of the pieces that you brought with you think people will be excited to see.
Well, the name of the exhibit is Sink or Think. And the last few years of the layout of the way the government's been working and people have been behaving has definitely put me in the direction of using my art to speak to other people in an emotional and meaningful way. And I realize that some of my art is a slap in the face, and it's meant to be. It is sometimes difficult to get a message out without first invoking awareness in the public. You know, so I do that through visual arts, music, poetry, and literature. We open avenues, we let in seeds of healthy emotions, the ability to learn and to listen, not just to the louder voices, but to people with many voices of our planet. You know, so listen more than speak loudly.
So what are some of your pieces that have a message? Can you describe them to us?
They're kind of hard to describe. I'll give it a try. One is called I Can't Breathe. It's a wooden sculpture inside of a box with a door on it, American flag on the front. And you open up the little door and there's the face in it is half Caucasian and half Negro. And that's the way I felt when all this was going on, that I can't breathe. And, and indigenous people, we can't breathe. And this is just a historic events that I have to put down. Otherwise, I don't feel like I'm doing my job as an artist. That's one example.
So what you're saying is we live in a toxic world and your art is trying to express that?
Yes, it is. A lot of the comments that I've gotten at my gallery this summer, many of them from this particular exhibit in the gallery, which I have many artworks hanging in there, is that it was very thought-provoking. I was thanked for doing it, and I sold a couple of pieces out of that, big pieces. And the people who were in there thanked me, really, for doing that, for taking my talent and doing this kind of art. It's easy to get stuck into one aspect of art or one medium if money is the only issue, you know, that you are trying to achieve. And I'm way past that. At my age, at 74, I have to go for the heart with my message. And that's what I do.
So tell us a little bit about running a gallery in Gustavus. How has it been for you, especially with the onset of the pandemic?
Well, it's been interesting because I've learned to use negative things in a positive way in my life. And what I decided to do was to, I took a job at the park, Glacier Bay National Park. I was a crew boss of a crew that we did historical restoration, and I got paid very well and loved the people I worked with. And I did that for 3 years, and I took that money. And I don't owe anything on my four buildings and my 2 acres. I built everything myself and paid for it. So I'm in a unique position right now where I made all the money I made, I got to keep and put back into my gallery, which I modified so I'd have more room to hang. And I've had a very successful summer, regardless of we didn't have the typical tourists, but many people who were visiting, some were from Juneau, independent visitors who were visiting people that live in Gustavus. And a lot of people came back to my gallery bringing their hosts with them. And it was a super successful year, just from the comments alone and the reaction to the artwork.
I guess that as an artist, it's important to get that connection with your public. And in COVID, a lot of artists have kind of been in a vacuum, unless, of course, they've been able to use the internet successfully to put their work out there. How about you? How have you been able to make that connection?
You know, I'd have to say I've been doing art in Alaska for over 50 years. I'm pretty well known in a lot of Southeast Alaska cities. I've had lots of shows in Seattle, California, New York. And so I'm not unknown. I just have never really pursued being an artist to make money. I've always done art for myself, which is, I can't say how rewarding that is. And I am a pretty proficient artist in getting the message out that I want. And of course, my personality leads to, you know, the integrity has left no doubt of my obligation to record history, as many artists have done throughout our existence, as you know. Utilizing my art to record in real time current history events, as I see it, you know, is, as I see it and feel it, is very important to me.
Well, I'm kind of curious because I noticed from your website that you have a number of Native-themed masks, carvings. What was the inspiration for that?
I don't have that many, but I do have several pieces. Well, I was definitely, when I came up to Alaska, overwhelmed by the expertise and the finesse of the totemic design, which was, you know, as you well know, it was definitely refined because of the situation of living in Southeast Alaska, but hunting and food gathering wasn't as hard as it was in other regions of, like, you know, let's say up in the mountains in Texas or somewhere. So it was a good life to refine the art. It was great design, and the indigenous people that I met are friends, or to me it was like an Italian family, you know, warm people, caring people, and I just fell in with that group of people. But I never mimicked. I've used elements of totemic art in my art, but I've never done anything near traditional or wanted to, because I'm not going to tread on somebody else's heritage. I don't think that's what I do. I have enough to do for myself.
So have you had any mentorship, any lessons from Native artists? Because definitely I see a Native inspiration in your work.
Yeah, I'm inspired by, you know, the Native art and just Alaska in itself. A lot of my art has to do with becoming a part of the environment or the ecosystem spiritually. I mean, I love ravens. And the only mentor I have a lot of carver friends, but the mentor and friend that was the most influential for me was Jack Hudson, a Tsimshian carver from Metlakatla, a renowned teacher and renowned, you know, artist, Native artist. And he didn't have to teach me how to carve, because I was carving when I was in the sixth grade. What he did teach me was how to make tools, because the tools I were using were, like, when I first got up there 50 years ago, were like X-Acto knives, you know, folding knives, my you know, folding knife. And I did some pretty nice work, but he came up to me one day at a show, and he's looking at my stuff, and he goes, "Hey, what are you using to carve those with?" And I said, "I got some X-Acto tools." He goes, "I'm going to teach you how to make tools."
And so, that changed your world, huh?
Yeah, rocked my world. I mean, what it did, one thing it did is I'm able to make any kind of tool I want for any kind of work I want to do, and also the speed of the work also increased too. you know, with hook knives and adzes. It was like, it was amazing.
Well, I see in your art, as I look at your website, a lot of different influences. I see Asian influences, even sci-fi in the midst of your work. But, you know, in these days and times, you know, it is kind of controversial in many Native communities in Alaska. As more and more Native artists come into their own, there's a lot of talk about cultural appropriation of art. What's your take on that?
Oh, I was 100% right. My art that, like I said, I do not do traditional Native carving. Probably 1% of my work has any semblance of a totemic symbolism in it is rare. I did one piece that traveled around the state for a year in the museums, and it was a raven, and the raven had a man's head on top of it. And I used totemic, designs on the beak and the raven itself, but the man was a human face, you know, could have been a Michelangelo carving or with tears coming down in silver and all kinds of circuits and wires coming down. And my mask was what I meant to do with that piece was to emphasize the clash between tradition and the increasingly ever fast moving world for technology, and how that must be such a determinant for people to find their own heritage in a very confusing and fast paced world. And that's why I did that piece in particular.
So,
but just
before we go, can you tell us the particulars, things we need to know if we want to check out your exhibit at V's cellar door?
What you need to know is when you're looking at the artwork, the titles on them and the artwork itself, both will get the what it means across. Some people ask me, what does that mean? And I tell them, I can't tell you what it means to me in my heart and my soul, but you tell me what it means to you. And nobody really is ever offbeat. So I know that I'm doing a good job.
All right.
I love art, and it's my life and passion.
So we'll get a taste of some of your passion this week at V's Cellar.
Undoubtedly.
So thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with your exhibit, Lou.
Yeah, thank you, and hello to everybody out there.
All right.
Have a good evening.
That was Lou Cacioppo exhibiting at V's Cellar Door.